There are few things more important to a plant than water. And here at Grace, we know that all too well through Katie's garden. Every year, there is that challenge of keeping things properly watered, not too little and not too much. So every spring, we install an irrigation system to provide targeted moisture to the plants, and we even use a soil moisture meter because appearances can be deceiving. One section may look dry while underneath it remains soaking wet. This is what happens in the new section of our garden. So this year, we decided that we would try a different planting method to improve drainage and to still, at the same time, reduce weeds. So we put landscape fabric only along the planting rows. It's about 18 inches wide. And then we only put straw between the rows in the hope that the ground would dry out more effectively. And our goal is simple. Healthy plants need the right amount of water. Too much or too little, and the garden suffers. And without the required water, the garden eventually dies. So that image helps us to understand the words of Jesus in John chapter 7. On the last and the greatest day of the Feast of Booths, Jesus stood up and cried out, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." John then explains, "Now this he said about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive." The setting of this passage is important. During the harvest festival of the Feast of Booths, the people remembered how God had provided water for Israel in the wilderness through Moses. On each day of the feast, a priest would draw water out of the pool of Siloam and carry it in a solemn procession to the temple altar. Then he would pour out the water before the people as a sign of thanksgiving for the rain, their crops, and even life itself. Yet the ceremony pointed beyond physical water and symbolized the promised outpouring of God's Spirit and the salvation that he would bring. Into that moment of solemn thanksgiving and remembrance, Jesus stood and declared himself to be the source of that living water. Not the ritual, not the pool, not the memory of Moses striking the rock. Jesus. He alone satisfies spiritual thirst. He alone gives the Holy Spirit. He alone gives life. Then at Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came in power. The disciples were gathered together when suddenly there came from heaven the sound of a mighty rushing wind. Tongues as of fire rested upon them, and they began to speak in languages as the Spirit gave them utterance. People from many nations heard the mighty works of God proclaimed in their own language. That first day of Pentecost was not just a dramatic event in history. It was the fulfillment of Jesus' promise. The rivers of living water had begun to flow. The Holy Spirit had been poured out upon the church. And notice how the Holy Spirit works. The Spirit does not point people away from Christ or draw attention to himself apart from Christ. The Spirit points to Jesus. Peter stands and preaches Christ crucified and risen. He proclaims repentance and forgiveness in Jesus' name. The Spirit fills the apostles so that Christ may be proclaimed to all the nations. And that remains true today. Sometimes people think of the Holy Spirit only in terms of dramatic emotions or extraordinary experiences. But Scripture continually shows that the Spirit works through the Word of Christ. The Spirit creates faith through the gospel. He comforts terrified consciences with forgiveness. He strengthens weak believers. He produces fruit in Christian lives. without the Spirit, we are spiritually dry ground. Scripture says that we are dead in our trespasses and sins. A dead plant cannot water itself. Dry soil cannot sustain life. Spiritually speaking, we cannot create faith or life within ourselves. We need that living water that only Christ can give. And that is exactly what Jesus pours out through the means of grace. In holy baptism, living water was poured out together with God's word on you, creating faith and uniting you to Christ. Every time you hear the gospel preached, the Holy Spirit is actively at work. Every time you receive Holy Communion, the Spirit is strengthening your faith, forgiving your sins, growing and sustaining you in the Christian life. And much like watering a garden, your spiritual growth is often gradual and hidden from sight. You don't see a tomato plant growing day by day, yet over time it blossoms and fruit appears. So it is with the Christian life. Through the faithful use of the means of grace, the Holy Spirit steadily and continually nurtures your faith, deepens your trust in Christ, and produces the fruit of faith in the lives of God's people. And notice that Jesus says that the rivers of living water will flow outward from believers. The Spirit does not merely trickle into Christians and then stop there. The Spirit flows outward through lives shaped by Christ. You see it in the church every week. Prayers are offered for those who suffer. A word of encouragement is spoken to those that are grieving. Parents teaching their children the faith. Believers singing hymns together around God's gifts. Just as healthy plants bear fruit, the Holy Spirit produces fruit in believers. Paul describes this fruit in Galatians chapter 5. Love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That is why the divine service is so important. Here, Christ continues to give that living water. Here, the Spirit strengthens our faith. Here, weary sinners are refreshed again and again with the forgiveness that only Christ can give. And that matters. That matters because this world often feels like a spiritual desert. We see anger, division, fear, loneliness, and despair all around us. And we feel our own weakness and failures. At times, our faith feels fragile. But Pentecost reminds us that the church does not survive by human strength. The church lives by the Spirit of God. The same Spirit who descended upon the apostles still works through the gospel today. And the source of living water never runs dry because the source is Christ Himself. As I read through several commentaries this week on this portion of Scripture, I was struck by an amazing contrast that I had never noticed before. The one who stood in the temple courts and cried out, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink," would later hang upon the cross and say, "I thirst." Think about that for a moment. The very source of living water becomes thirsty. The one who created the oceans, the rivers, and rain endured the burning desert of the crucifixion. Jesus was bearing the full weight of our sin and the judgment that we deserved. He thirsted so that sinners might drink. He endured spiritual dryness so that we might receive rivers of living water. And then John records something so remarkable. After Jesus died, the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, And immediately, blood and water flowed out. The church has long seen in that image the gift that Christ gives to his people, flowing from his crucified body. Water for baptism, blood for the supper, forgiveness and life flowing from the side of our Savior who gave himself for the world. In that cross, the world sees weakness, but faith sees the fountain of salvation opened wide. That is the great Pentecost truth. The Holy Spirit is poured out only because Christ first poured himself out unto death. The living water flows because the Savior became thirsty in our place. So when your soul is weary, come to Christ and drink. When guilt weighs heavily upon your conscience, come to Christ and drink. When grief and sorrow seem too much for us to bear, come to Christ and drink. When the world leaves you spiritually parched and exhausted, come to Christ and drink. For the Savior himself promises, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. For through that living water, the Holy Spirit continues to work even now, creating faith, strengthening hearts, forgiving sins, and sustaining God's people through all seasons of life. That same Spirit poured out at Pentecost still refreshes Christ's church today through word and sacrament. And the day is coming when faith will become sight. The Lamb who once thirsted upon the cross for our salvation will lead his people to the everlasting springs of living water. Their sin, death, sorrow, and suffering will be no more. Until that glorious day, dear brothers and sisters in the faith, return again and again and again to Jesus Christ, the fountain of living water, and drink deeply of the life and salvation he alone can give. Amen.